Fertility diets, fact or fiction? We're talking about that today on Fertility Talk with RSCNJ, the Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey. I'm Melanie Cole, and joining me today is Dr. William Ziegler. He's a specialist in reproductive endocrinology and infertility, and he's the medical director of the Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey.
The Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey combines a commitment to sensitive care with a state-of-the-art program. We proudly present Fertility Talk with RSCNJ. Here's Melanie Cole.
Dr. Ziegler, it's always such a pleasure to have you with us. What's the current understanding of how diet affects fertility? What do we know right now?
Well, I think what we need to do is we need to kind of, I always like putting things right into perspective. And worldwide, 17% of the population is going to be affected with infertility, and that's one in six individuals. And we know that lifestyle in itself plays a big role in reproductive health. We know with weight, with regard to body mass index, we know if somebody is overweight or if they're underweight, it's going to affect their ovulation. We also know the composition, like if somebody has increased amount of body fat or peripheral tissue, that's going to affect their ovulation. We look at gymnasts who are very fit, but they don't have a lot of body fat. And in many cases, they are not having their period or they're not having regular cycles. We also know that in which exercise plays a role. And then we look at our nutrition intake. And over time, there's this ratio we look at. It's called the total fertility ratio. And back in the 1950s, basically, it's a ratio that tells us in a woman's reproductive lifetime, what is the average number of children in which they have? And back in the 1950s, that it was five. In just this year, it dropped down to 2.3, and it's projected in 2050 to drop down to 2.1. And now we look at where has there been a very large drop off? And when we look at the Western diet or the United States diet, we know that total fertility ratio dropped from, in the 1950s, it was 3, and now it's down to 1.8. So we're seeing these drops, and now we are looking at, okay, is it by choice? Well, it can't be worldwide by choice. So what are we seeing? And that's where we start taking a look at lifestyle. And one of the big things is we look at their nutritional intake. And it does vary from the Middle East to Greece to the Asian countries, as well as to the United States. And there is some information out there to kind of show that the composition of our diet can actually affect our fertility.
That's fascinating. And if we think about it, as you mentioned, the Western diet and processed foods, so many bleached foods and things, I would imagine that that would affect, as you say, all parts of how our bodies run, and certainly the Mediterranean diet and the Asian diets where it's more plant-based and protein-based and pure whole foods. So tell us a little bit about some of the diets that we see, the Mediterranean diet, but are there actually fertility diets, things that we want, nutrients that we want to get in and some that we don't?
Well, I think everybody needs to have a balanced diet. And when we take a look at what things that we have in our diet in which we can manipulate to help us feel better as well as have better reproductive health, well, we break things down into the fats, the carbohydrates, and the proteins. When we take a look at the fats, we know that in the Western diet, 62% of our diet is saturated fats. Saturated fats increase insulin. That can affect a hormonal profile. It increases inflammation. So we try staying away from a lot of the saturated fats or the trans fats. The ones that appear to be the good fats are the polyunsaturated fats, the monounsaturated fats. That's where we need to go with, like virgin olive oil, which is a big component of the Mediterranean diet. Virgin olive oil as well as extra virgin olive oil. Staying away from the processed meats. Because again, processed meats can cause an oxidative process, and it has been shown to affect DNA in eggs as well as in sperm. So we have to really think about what we are ingesting from the, and then from the fat standpoint. When we take a look at the carbohydrate standpoint, when we look at the Asian diets, and the Asian diets have changed over time, and they have found that the traditional diets in which they had, fertility was higher than the diet in which they have now, which is more of a Western diet. They are consuming more white rice, 3 to 4 bowls per day, versus in the past when it was just only 1 or 2. So unless you are consuming a better carbohydrate, that's going to affect, again, insulin again is going to be increased. Also, these women are now becoming overweight, and now we're running into a high body mass index. So again, we have to pick and choose what carbohydrates we are going to be consuming and how it is going to affect us. When we take a look at proteins, you have plant proteins and you have the animal proteins. And the plant proteins appear to be better. It gives a higher, in women, gives them better embryos, a higher live birth rate, a lower miscarriage rate. And that's just comparing plant-based proteins with animal proteins. So again, I don't think it's one specific diet. I think it's a combination. So that's where it comes down to choices. And you have to think about what, number one, tastes good. And the other is what is good for you. When we look at the Mediterranean diet, initially, when it was coined, the Mediterranean diet back in the 1950s, it basically showed improvement in cardiovascular disease and it decreased the risk of epilepsy. And now we know that diet is better for our reproductive health as well as our medical management, I guess.
This is so interesting. And when you're talking to us, Dr. Ziegler, about hormonal profile and things that affect that, I can see how that all ties together with our lifestyle and the choices that we make. What's your opinion on supplements? One of the things I have found most interesting in all of the diet studies that I've read over all of my years in the medical field is that we used to look at supplements in a different way until folic acid came around, right? And it became something that changed the way that we viewed supplements and fertility and safety and babies being born. So what do you think about when we're trying to work on that hormonal profile, things like folic acid, CoQ10, omega-3s, any of these kinds of things? What do you think?
When we take a look at vitamins, in the past, a big one was vitamin E and vitamin C. And they are basically antioxidants. And oxidants can be detrimental to DNA replication. So if you reduce those, it helps with cell division. So I think from our standpoint, especially because our diet, because of the Western diet, I think having those supplements is beneficial. Can I say that you can eat enough lettuce to make up for getting enough folic acid? I really can't say that. I still think unless we're eating a balanced diet, I think a supplement is needed. With regard to folic acid, we do know that unless we have enough of it, children can be born with neural tube defects or something called spina bifida. Those that have epilepsy should really be on more folic acid. They should really be on 5 milligrams of folic acid per day. The FDA says that a prenatal vitamin should have at least 800 micrograms, but a lot of them have 1 milligram. So I think that has really affected the incidence or decreased the incidence of neural tube defects. With CoQ10, there's studies out that show that it does improve egg quality. So we do use it on our patients who are going through assisted reproductive technology. So I think these supplements are beneficial, and I think they're beneficial because our diet is lacking them, that we're seeing that by supplementing people or our patients with this, we see a better outcome. Well, that means that their diet doesn't have enough in it. So that's where it gets back to, we really need to take a look at what we are ingesting. Some patients, Jay, come to me, well, that I'm a vegan or I'm a vegetarian. Okay, that's fine, but you're eating a lot of foods that have isoflavones in them, that have phytoestrogens in them. And if you do consume a lot of those phytoestrogens, it has been shown that it can affect male fertility. It decreases motility. It increases the abnormal morphology. So again, I don't think one diet is an infertility diet. I think we need to pick and choose and look at, okay, what does my diet need? What has it been shown to be beneficial? Okay, I need more plant proteins. I need less glycemic foods. When it comes to the fats, okay, I need polyunsaturated and monounsaturated as the majority of my fat intake. And I'm not saying we take away the saturated fats. I'm not saying we take away the potato chips, okay? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I think we need to come up with a balance. And I think the Western diet, the pendulum swung really far in one direction. And I think that's why we're seeing the supplements are beneficial, because our diet is actually lacking those things.
We could talk about this a long time because it does go deeper with the macronutrients and the soil that we use versus the soil that was used to grow these things 50 years ago. I mean, it's really complex. It is. But when we think of the lifestyle factors, how do they interact with the diet to help fertility? When we look at sleep, Dr. Ziegler, when we look at exercise, when we look at these things, even water intake, all of them tie together. So put that all together for us.
Well, I think it really comes down to we need to keep ourselves healthy. If we're not healthy, we're going to be under stress, and our body does not like stress. And when we're under stress, it affects our hormones, because stress increases our catecholamines, and catecholamines can affect the FSH as well affect the LH coming from the pituitary gland. It affects the GnRH pump. So you need to come up with a balance within your life to help reduce as much stress as possible. And exercise does do that. And I think exercise is very important, especially in those patients that have increased amount of peripheral tissue, those that are of higher body mass index. By lowering weight by just 10% seems to move that hormonal profile in a positive direction. And we talked about this before, about the medications that people are using now to lose weight. And we have patients that use that and they lose the peripheral body fat and getting pregnant naturally. And we are not involved with that. So I think we have to come up with, again, a happier, healthier lifestyle. And I know people drink water all the time. That is fine. However, just keep in mind that what comes out with the water are some nutrients too. So you do need to have that balance.
I'd like you to wrap it up for us, Dr. Ziegler, because this is an interesting topic and so important for people to see this interaction between our lifestyles and, as you say, stress and the things that raise those cortisol levels, hormones, our hormonal profile that's so important to maintain for both males and females, and how all of that interacts with our diet.
As I mentioned before, for those that are going through fertility treatment, we can give you medication, but sometimes by just changing your diet may help you get pregnant without the assistance of our services. We are there if you need us. But I think diet is now coming into its own forum, that it can affect many things. Besides, we know before about the high cholesterol and the high LDLs and the low HDLs. We know about that dealing with heart disease. But now it's starting to move its way over within the fertility realm. And I think there are some foods I think that patients can alter that may improve their chances in getting pregnant with or without our assistance.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ziegler. You're such a great educator and a great guest as always. And for more information, please visit fertilitynj.com to get connected with one of our providers. That concludes this episode of Fertility Talk with the Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for joining us today.